Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, hanging out with Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. First day of training camp in the books. Man, you looking good. How you feeling heading into year 14?
Man, feel awesome, man, to be year 14 feeling this good. I'm so grateful to be in this position, grateful to God that he has given me this platform and he still allows me to stay sharp and stay crisp ahead of the curve in terms of being able to fly around on the field, be able to understand what ways offenses are trying to attack me, and I'm just grateful. So a phenomenal first day. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Double D, what's the biggest challenge with all your experience? Because you've run the 4-3 concept for so long. I know you started out with the Jets. Mm-hmm. You all went 3-4. Yep. And maybe a two-part question. How do you answer the critics when they say, oh, well, DeMario's a 4-3 guy, not 3-4. Look how well he did with the Saints, but not so much with the Jets. Is that maybe a lack of experience or what? But you just said different assignments that you asked to do and, you know, a 3-4 versus 4-3.
Well, actually, I was a 3-4 when I came back. One of the best seasons.
In Cleveland?
No, with Ty Bowles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ty Bowles. Okay. When I came back in 2017, we were running a 3-4. Okay. And so I think the first 4 years of my career, I really struggled because I was learning the NFL. And I came from the Sun Belt where it was predominantly coverage, and I was trying to learn the run game. And the game was actually changing in the midst. So I was trying to learn how to stop power and two-back runs like what the Patriots were running, and I hadn't really ever played that Miami and Buffalo, and so I was trying to learn a different game and how to get good at that, but the game was changing to more of a spread at the same time, and so it took me a little time to find my way. But by the time I left Cleveland and was coming back, I think the light bulb had went off, and I was able to come in the New York Jets in 2017, and I had probably statistically one of my best seasons, top two or three. And that's how I ended up with the Jets. When I came out, I was number one free agent linebacker. And so I think I played in the 3-4 system. And honestly, I think I can play both at a high level. Which one I'm better at is, I think it depends on the year because I can commit myself fully to whatever I'm in.
And could it depend on the guys up front? I mean, how you can run sideline to sideline, you run fits and all?
All of it goes hand in hand. It's the guys that are around you. The front plays a big part, especially in how effective you are collectively as a run. The coach being able to understand you as a player and put you in the best situation. I think what Staley is giving me a chance to do is something that I haven't done in my career, which is truly spend a lot of time in vision on the quarterback. I think that's the biggest difference is as a backer, I'm not matching running backs and tight ends as much as I'm playing vision on the quarterback, which is new. And I think being able to do it and experience, that's probably where is what I'm best at. I just never really was allowed to do it. And he understands how to pressure and how to get me one-on-one with the backs and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I am one of the better pressure backers in the league.
Yeah, and as far as pressure, giving you opportunities to sack the quarterback, I mean, who doesn't love – to do that. But as far as like coverage and assignment, is it more like zone concepts where you are and what zone you are? And you say like, not freelancing, but keeping your eye on the quarterback. But doesn't it come that case in point sometimes any zone type coverage, you got a clock in your head. I know the quarterback does, where the ball's coming out and then you always, then who's in your zone? Then you match up like it's man.
Absolutely. It's all zone match. It's not true zone. And I think Staley gets it and teaches it and how much the pressure in the zone goes hand in hand. And so if I'm dropping in the zone, I can take away the quarterback's read, you know, his first read or his second read. By that time, the rush should have been there and got there. And I think we live in a game, especially with a lot of the younger quarterbacks, they know how to go to their first read and second read very effectively. And it's one-on-one matchups. And if it's nobody in those windows, it's an easy throw. And I think that's what Staley gets is how to take away those first and second windows. And I think I could be one of the best at doing that. And so that's what I'm really excited about.
So what, like as far as your sidekick, you know, 3-4 versus 4-3, where do you think Werner's at right now? I know you have a whole linebacking room, but you're the top dog. You know, the running back room is Alvin Kamara. Linebacker room is DeMario Davis. Yeah. So how do you look at that linebacking room and where Pete Werner's at right now?
It's constant progression. I think, number one, Pete's best thing is his strength and his instincts. And when he continues to lean on those, he's going to play at a very high level. And so I think he's going to be able to adapt to the system because of his how smart he is. And I think it's going to be able to lock something in him to be learn how to be more of a vision, because all he's had been asked to do is be more of a match defender. And so if he learns how to, use his eyes and trust what he sees and go and release himself, he has the potential to be one of those dominant linebackers that instincts really show up on tape.
Now, DeMario, you mentioned, boy, look at your career now coming out of the Sun Belt. I remember playing against Arkansas State in Jonesboro. They were the Indians then. Were they the Red Wolves when you played?
Yeah, we started as the Indians.
We became the Red Wolves.
Yeah, we became the Red Wolves while I was there. I was one of the last Indians.
The last Indians became the Red Wolves. So, I went to Northwestern State in Natchitoches.
Yeah.
We were the Demons. So I remember going up to Jonesboro. So it has to be rewarding when you think where you've come from, from Mississippi to Jonesboro, Arkansas State, and the career you've had. I know you want to put more skins in the wall, but that has to be very satisfying.
Yeah, man, it's not even just about skins on the wall at this point. I spent a lot of time reflecting. I was in D.C. for the 4th of July, and then we left and we went to Paris. And over that time, I was just reflecting, man, that the game of football has brought me so far. And it's this game around this little old pigskin and just being able to be halfway decent at it has allowed me to go from the country streets of Mississippi through the cornfields of Arkansas to New York to Cleveland, now here and around the world, all the way in Paris because of this game of football. So I am
you've truly been blessed.
Yeah man, I'm more than blessed, man, and I can't do anything but bask in it. And the only way that I can show that I'm grateful is to continue to put my best forward.
Talking to Saints linebacker DeMario Davis here on WWO. You mentioned that trip to Paris. What was that like hanging out representing the Fleur-de-Lis?
Oh, man, it's incredible, man. I want our entire city to go there. And I feel like, United American, whichever one got the flight, needs to have a direct flight from New Orleans to Paris, because a game is going to be happening there soon. And I believe our Saints fans are going to love it over there because it's so much like here. The people are just like here. It's a lot of pride in their city, very relational, care about people.
So were you greeting people and they're like, bonjour? Parlez-vous français?
Yeah, bonjour, bonjour.
Bonne nuit,
yeah.
Bonsoir.
Merci beaucoup. Yeah, c'est bon. Enchanté. It was all those. Yeah.
So did you get an opportunity to go to the Louvre, the
went
museum?
Went to the Louvre, went to Notre Dame.
The cathedral, yeah.
Went to the cathedral. We went to PSG. We got a chance to see a lot.
It's a pretty nice stadium.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, did you ever have to, and they look at you, what do you do for a living? And they figure it out. And I remember traveling around the world. Like, I just went to Istanbul and Athens, and they're like, "What do you do for a living?" I say, "Well, I played professional football," and they kind of look at you. You're kind of big for a football player because they think it's soccer.
Yeah.
And then I just say, "No, a pro American football," and they go, "Oh, with the pads."
That's it. We're changing that. That's what we're changing. We're changing that for the world, and it's incredible, and that they're getting it, like that they're starting to understand American football in that way. Because when you pick it up a football, they actually think you're playing rugby, and so that's the next game that they associated to it. So it's like getting them to make sure that they understand the game. But that's what I loved about the people over there, because they kind of standoffish. But then when they realize you're genuine and you care and that you're just a real person, that you want to connect and you're not there just showing up with all this bravado and all this type of stuff, man, they just get open arms and they show you so much hospitality and love and welcoming. And I was just like, man, this is incredible. But that's the same type of experience I feel like that we receive here. It's a city that if you love it, it's going to love you back. And that's how it is over there.
When you think about it, DeMario, think about this. New Orleans is the most European city in the United States. Mm. And then you look in New Orleans, Paris is just the French connection.
The French connection, yeah, what I'm saying, because Louisiana was a French colony.
Right.
And so,
and looking in, my ancestors came from the central western part of France.
Yeah.
And they came into Nova Scotia, Acadie, in the 17th century. Yeah, yeah. So when you look back, and so I even look at, and
they love you
know,
there.
Oh, and Hébert, they know how to pronounce Hébert. Then even going to southern France in Provence, go to the vineyards. We got Napa Valley, you go to Provence, they got Tuscan, Italy.
But
You won't have a bad time in France.
You won't. That's why we got to get our game over there, because nobody will do it overseas like the Saints fans
Amen.
Will. And so, and it's going to be like a homecoming.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when that game happens there, the black and gold going to be up and down the streets. Doing second line in those pair of streets is going to be something great.
They'll be joining in. And, yeah, I don't know why it took so long. It just seems common sense. I told Greg Benz with us, I go, man, this should have happened a long time ago. But finally it's happening. Yes. Now it's finally happening.
Yeah. Because shout out to Miss B.
Miss Gayle.
She awesome. Put the bid in. She put the bid in. She said, I want France. And locked it up.
And then how was Monaco?
Oh, she went to Monaco. We didn't get a chance to go. I didn't get a chance to go.
Place.
Yeah, yeah. But she said it was amazing. Yeah,
you
yeah.
Go, they have the Formula One race
yeah,
in Monaco.
Yeah.
Oh, Grand Prix. Oh, yeah. There's so much to do. And look, I look at that Florida Lee on the side of the helmet. And you look old school France. They got the Florida Lee in the flag before the French Revolution. No, we are so French. We don't even realize it.
Yeah, bro. We connected. I mean, it's you literally don't realize you stand in another country until you really think about it, because it's so much similar. It's so similar. And what I think is, like, in terms of the NFL, the biggest opportunity is in terms of the NFL, the Saints is a small market.
Yeah.
But when it becomes international, Saints will be one of the dominant markets to be.
Right. Who that nation? Worldwide. We're international.
Who that worldwide, baby?
A little bit away from football. What do you think about the new helmets, the white helmets coming out for the team? And also, you guys, I saw, got gold jerseys too this year.
Yeah, we got options, man. That's what you want. You want options, man.
Fresh look.
Yeah, the fans
will love those options if you win in them.
That's it. You want options, man. But it go back to what Deion said, what Prime said. Look good, feel good, play good.
Amen.
You got to look good to feel good.
Yeah,
you got to feel good to play good.
Yeah.
Saints linebacker DeMario Davis, thanks so much for joining us, man.
You guys, y'all be blessed.
All right,
always some fun.
Great day of camp for the first day, Cajun Cannon, and great guy to talk to on the first day, DeMario Davis. Man, year 14 for him, and looking good. Hopefully, he can stay at that elite level, because you know you look at guys in this that have been playing for so long right now, and it just doesn't feel like DeMario's hit that wall.
No, I still think he has a lot left in the tank. I would say okay, out of these three. Okay, Alvin Kamara, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan. How would you rate who has the most left in the tank?
Oh, I still think AK's got a lot left.
I would say AK 1, DeMario Davis 2, and Cam Jordan 3.
I think that's fair.
So, Cam, don't get mad at me.
Right.
Because I still think you have something left in the tank. But I still think they can all compete at a high level and have success. And to me, DeMario Davis is still a tackling machine. When he's not a tackling machine or... Boy, look, we gave up, we won before last stopping the run. Yeah, because the defensive line's getting their ass kicked. I think even with Pete Werner, we have the right linebackers. We got to win up front. They got to occupy the blockers so the linebackers can roam sideline to sideline. No, the Mario Davis is going to, he'll knock a snot bubble. And I think with Coach Staley, what you're going to see more also is utilizing him. I think watch this year. I don't know, they probably could bet on this. The over and under sacks. I think they'll utilize him more as a pass rusher. If you look,
Witcher, yeah.
He had only 2 sacks last season after 13 in the 2 years prior.
Right.
So I don't think he was utilized enough rushing the passer to get sacks. So I could see Coach Staley utilizing DeMario Davis, because he's not just putting a QB pressure, a quarterback hurry, quarterback hit. No, he's actually sacking the quarterback. I think Alante Taylor can sack the quarterback. Who do we need to sack the quarterback more and not just get quarterback hurries and pressures?
Chase Young.
Yes.
He got paid.
Yes. Finish. You look like Tarzan.
He sure
and
does.
We need you to play like Tarzan. Not play like Jane. Cause he's a physical specimen. We need Chase Young to finish and get those double-digit sacks. We don't need, like, that's good. We don't need Brian Brazee to be like, oh, like he's one of the sack getters. We need, like, a couple of DNs in double digits getting sacked. They need truly affecting the opposing quarterback. And see, when we come back, I want to elaborate a little more about double DN, that linebacking core,
sure.
Where I think they're going to fit in to help this team. I'm telling you, watch out for the dark horse. And Pete Werner better have his A game, because watch out for Danny Stutzman.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, I don't think he's a redneck, but I like that Oklahoma boy. He seems like a guy that played for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Right.
Who wants to knock the crap out of you. I'm a Danny Stutzman fan. Looks the part. 6'3", around 235, 240. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table.
We'll get more into the Cajun Cannons training camp notebook, brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started.